Hey, folks, it is Wednesday night, May the 20th, 2009. You're listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How are you doing, Rebecca?
I am doing fantastically.
That's great.
How are you doing?
I'm exhausted.
Yes.
And I'm going to just press on through.
Go for it.
Okay. So let's start on the state front and very quickly move to the national front. We have an amazing show for you tonight. Let's just say that first. Dr. Marjorie Hill, who is the chief executive officer of GMHC, the Gay Men's Health Crisis, will be on later. She picked some amazing music that is going to have us up and dancing, and we'll have you up and dancing, and we're going to ask her about that and many more things later. But let's start on the state front. So in keeping with all the news happens on Wednesday, right over in New Hampshire, which, if you did not know, Becca and I can actually see outside the window, because that's where we are in Vermont.
Yes, much like Palin can see Russia.
Yes. We actually can see New Hampshire, Becca. New Hampshire lawmakers unexpectedly rejected a bill today that would have made the state the sixth in the United States to authorize gay marriage. The state's Democrat-controlled House of Representatives voted down the bill in a 188 to 186 vote.
But they didn't really vote it down. You're making it sound so awful.
Yeah, I think
that's not really what happened.
No, I think it was just because
they voted down the changes.
Correct.
And they voted to not kill the bill, to keep it alive, too, and it was 200-something.
Absolutely. Well, the legislature had been asked to approve language that would give legal protections, including the right to decline to marry same-sex couples to clergy and other affiliated religious organizations. The House vote against the governor's amendment means the bill will be sent to a committee that will try to resolve the differences between the two chambers. It remains unclear how the governor would respond to any changes in the wording. I actually am okay with this exemption. I don't think we need to force anyone to perform the marriages. That's not really why we're doing this.
No, it's not.
Okay, so we should compromise
on
this
one. And most of the gay rights groups are agreeing with you.
Oh, good. Did you ask them?
I did.
Oh,
I went around. I polled everybody. I said, hey, guys, what do you think?
What do you think?
Do you think that's all right?
Do you think I think that's fine.
I think it's great.
I think that's fine. On the national front, we talked about this a little bit last week, that the gay groups, with each passing week, are getting a little bit more angry at President Obama and his inaction, his lack of action towards the gay community and on behalf of the gay community. So longtime LGBT activist David Mixner today called for a march on Washington for marriage equality on his grassroots website. And if you need the link, it's www.davidmixner.com. And his quote was, as this administration sits in offices plotting timeline charts on what rights they feel comfortable granting us this year, clearly it is time for us to gin up. I don't know if that means drink gin while getting our efforts up.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. For us to gin up our efforts and stop waiting for them to hand us our God-given entitlements, wrote Mixner. Mixner, if you don't know, was one of the most prominent LGBT fundraisers for Bill Clinton, but split with Bill Clinton when Don't Ask, Don't Tell went so horribly awry. And I thought this quote was really interesting. Mixner said that if LGBT groups weren't willing to organize the effort, quote, I believe that people like Cleve Jones and Tori Osborne and others are ready to step up to the fore. So there's frustration not just with the president, but also with the LGBT groups saying, okay, what are you doing? Are you supporting the president? Why are we supporting someone who's not supporting us? And there was this article over on Queerty.com. I just want to read this real quick. Didn't get an invite to the White House's gay inclusive Easter egg roll? Then here's your chance to plop down at least $1,000 or as much as $30,400 for a seat at the Democratic National Committee LGBT Leadership Council dinner on June 25th at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in D.C. Joe Biden will be there, and if you're lucky, Rick Warren will serve you appetizers. But sorry, the evening's program is already full, which means you'll have to wait till sometime, quote, down the road for things like marriage rights and the ability to serve openly in the military. The point being, it's kind of ironic that we're going to go pay money and sit at a dinner when we haven't gotten anything yet.
Yeah.
It's early. It's early. He hasn't been president that long, but I don't know. What do you think? Does he have to do something
quiet.
Soon?
I think he has to. I mean, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell it's a bad piece of legislation,
yeah.
And it's been kind of the uprising has started, I think. You go on the web and you start to see all of these reactions from people, and I'm surprised that nothing has been done already because servicemen and women are really starting to step up and say, this is ridiculous. We're not going to take this anymore. We're going to come out. And if you're going to charge us or kick us out of the military, that's going to be your problem when you don't have anyone to serve.
Right. There was the article. So. There was the guy who was on Rachel Maddow this week, and I don't have his name in front of me, who is an Arabic translator. And he was discharged and said, you're just losing tons of really, really important people. So Obama, President Obama.
Pay attention.
Calling President Obama. You should probably do something for the gay community. And here's a song for you, President Obama. This song was bound to be requested at some point, and it's going to happen right now. You ready?
All right.
Okay. That was I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, as requested by tonight's guest, Dr. Marjorie Hill, who is the chief executive officer of GMHC. We'll have her on in just a little bit.
And Ken, what does GMHC stand for?
GMHC stands for Gay Men's Health Crisis. We have so much to talk with her about. But first, some other news before we talk with her. Down in South Carolina, dozens of gay rights advocates demonstrated at the South Carolina Capitol on Tuesday. Kind of was hoping it'd be more than dozens, but dozens is a start.
It is a start.
It builds from dozens, protesting against a provision in a teen dating violence bill that specifically excludes same-sex coupled young people. The provision was added by the State House last weekend, and LGBT groups say it sends a dire message to gay teens. And the quote from one of the PFLAG folks down there, the message this sends gay kids is we're not worthy, we don't count. It makes them feel like they're second-class citizens. But you have to hear this. This is from one of the folks who introduced the amendment. Quote, same-sex dating is not traditional. These groups want to destroy traditional values. It's seriously, in a bill that is trying to protect teens from dating violence, it's an opportunity to talk about what is traditional and what is not traditional. So instead of protecting more kids from violence,
yeah,
go for it.
Violence is traditional. Awesome.
But to balance that
I've got
out,
nothing. I don't know how people do that. I don't know how they justify that kind of logic. I just don't get it.
This is why we need to get more than dozens of people. So if you're down there, you need to protest with these folks down in Columbia, South Carolina. On the opposite side, to inspire you, folks should go and check out hottopics.gay.com. And the first story on there is about a third grader. His name is Ethan in Colorado. He recently organized a rally, this third grader, to promote marriage equality for gays and lesbians, as well as equal protection under the law. He did this.
Third grader?
He's a third grader.
How old are you in third grade?
Let's see. That makes you nine. He's nine. And he had hundreds of people at this protest.
Nice.
It wasn't so much a protest as let's get equal rights for everybody. He decided to hold the rally after he found out that a same-sex couple who lives in his neighborhood and has a child that they're not allowed to wed in Colorado. So when he found that out, he said, I want to have a rally. He put it together. It actually says all the different things that he did. He got the necessary permits. He found speakers to make the community aware.
Wait, he got permits?
He got permits.
Rock on, kid.
Ethan,
you're the best.
Ethan, you are an inspiration. So for all those folks out there who think, oh gosh, I just couldn't possibly put something together. How could I possibly get dozens of people to turn out? You could be Ethan. You could be in Colorado. You could get some permits, get some speakers, and right there. And in this Facebook age.
Or if you don't know how to do it, contact your nearest 9-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The 9-year-old is going to boil it down to some very simple things. How do you get people there? You make it important to them. You have some toys. In this case, Ethan had the power of equality. So this show is so gay officially salutes our buddy Ethan. We think you're fantastic. Thank you so much for all that you're doing, and keep it up, because we're fairly sure you have a nice solid career in this. Where are you going tomorrow?
I'm heading out. I'm going to London and Paris.
Wow.
I'm excited.
This show is so gay is on the road.
My brain is vacationing already.
Well, don't. We're not there
yet. I'm
going to
bring our business cards. I'm going to talk us up.
Oh, yes. We would like more of an international presence.
That's right.
And then
so I'm going, and I plan on, tax write-off, right? Because...
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Just kidding, IRS. Just kidding.
Let me know how that works out for you. And then next week, after next Wednesday show, with a special guest host that you have to tune in to hear. I'm not telling anyone who it is. Also with special guest Ant, TV personality, comic Ant. I will then be heading off at 3 a.m. the next morning to go hop a flight to San Francisco to do the San Francisco to L.A. AIDS ride.
Yes, for far less selfish reasons.
Correct.
Than my trip to London, Paris.
No.
Though
no,
I was thinking.
Can be selfish with this kind of work. It's going to feel really good. It's totally selfish. Totally selfish.
Well, see, I think that I might stop by the U.S. Embassy in Iraq on my way. Because did you hear that the embassy in Iraq is having a gay pride party?
I didn't. Oh, give out our business cards.
I don't know if I can actually get clearance to enter that particular country at this time, but... And I'm pretty sure my travel insurance will not cover it. But the Department of Defense contractors are civilians. So they can be as out and as proud as they want to be.
You have a shot at getting some business cards out there.
And they're just not covered by Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Isn't that awesome?
If you see people there in Iraq, tell them to join our Facebook group.
Yeah, because no problem.
Okay. Here's another song as requested by tonight's guest. Enjoy.
I'm walking through life in nature's disguise, yeah. You laugh at me and you criticize, yeah. 'Cause I'm happy, carefree, and gay, yes, I'm gay. Ain't no fault, it's a fact, I was born this way, yeah.
I'm thinking it's time to welcome a guest. How do you feel about that?
Sounds great.
Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, let's introduce you then. Dr. Marjorie Hill is the Chief Executive Officer of Gay Men's Health Crisis. Dr. Hill previously served as GMHC's Managing Director for Community Health, where she had responsibility for the Women's Institute, the Institute for Gay Men's Health, and coordination of agency-wide community-level health promotion initiatives. Prior to her tenure at GMHC, Dr. Hill was the Assistant Commissioner for the Bureau of HIV and AIDS at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. She's done just so much for this community. It is an absolute, absolute honor to welcome Dr. Marjorie Hill to This Show Is So Gay. Welcome, Dr. Hill.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Well, pretty good is pretty good.
Surprise.
There you go. Well, first, we're going to start out on a serious note. We truly want to offer our condolences on the loss of Roger McFarlane, who just recently died. We were so sad to read about that.
You know, Roger was a really incredible person. I mean, he was a someone who was direct and a personal mentor and friend, and who transformed not only the gay and lesbian community and HIV community, but the philanthropic community overall.
Absolutely. And so just for folks that don't know, and if I can I read a little bit from the statement that GMHC put out there?
Oh, please do.
Okay, good. GMHC deeply mourns the loss of Roger McFarlane, one of the first volunteers and first paid executive directors from 1983 to 1985. Roger was an AIDS warrior, immediately responding to the fight with our founders before there was a name to the disease. In 1981, he set up the world's first HIV and AIDS hotline with his own phone and answering machine. Over 100 calls were recorded that first night. He sounded like the greatest guy.
A really incredible guy. Really, really incredible.
And in your statement, in that press release, I loved that you said he was a mentor, a guide, an agitator, and a friend. And what? Tell us why those four qualities really push things forward. Of course, we see agitator and think, all right, how important is that? And of course, that's important.
Well, you know, Roger was a take-no-prisoners kind of guy, that he was never apologetic and always direct and honest, and gave you feedback whether you wanted it or not. and that was true when he talked to gay people. It was true when he talked to straight people. It was true in his dealings with government. You could count on Roger to say the things that other people might only think of.
Gotcha. Well, that's important to have around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a statement put out by a number of his friends, and they describe him as a hard ass.
Well, yeah, we were talking, I think, last month we had Kenyon Farrow on the show. And one of the questions that we asked him in being engaged in this work with HIV and AIDS, when it truly is at many points a war and there are fallen soldiers in this war, how do you keep your energy up? How do you refocus and get ready for the next day?
Well, you know, for me, I have truly the honor of working at the world's oldest AIDS service organization. As the statement indicated, Roger was one of the early founders, and I have an opportunity to be inspired every single day. There are clients at GMHC who proudly are survivors and who are AIDS warriors and who are kind of old school, and in spite of first contracting HIV at a time when there were no medications and stigma was outrageously oppressive, they have survived. And I just, you know, on a daily basis, I have an opportunity to be inspired by their lives and by their tenacity.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is.
Now, we hear that, you know, you and just a couple of your friends got together in Central Park on Sunday.
just a walk in the park.
Yeah, okay. Just hanging out with some of your friends, and then you somehow attracted a crowd. And what? Tell everyone
just
what happened on
Sunday.
You know, AIDS Walk New York is the largest public awareness and HIV/AIDS fundraiser in the world. 45,000 of my friends and family and coworkers joined me in Central Park on Sunday for the 24th annual AIDS Walk, where we raised $5.6 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and all of those dollars go towards supporting services at GMHC and other AIDS service organizations that participated in the walk. And it's so essential, particularly given the economic climate that we're in, that there are these people who come out and their families and businesses and church groups. And I think there were a record number of young people. I felt like every other person I saw was under 17, and out there raising money and raising awareness. We have increased need.
Yeah.
HIV has always been a disease of the disenfranchised. And as the economy shifts, we're seeing more people making food requests, more people making housing requests, more people looking for benefits and assistance. And so a lot of what we do at GMHC are provide those services that really allow people to get the help that they need and then work on challenges of HIV.
Now, what time did you go to bed the night before?
The night before, I probably went to bed about 11, and I was up at 5.
Okay. Oh. And then what time did you go to bed? What time did you finally come down on Sunday night?
Say, I do the weather report.
Oh.
At 7 o'clock at the park on Channel CBS, our media sponsor. And my forecast was cool and lots of money.
Nice.
Well, and did that come true, both parts?
Good.
Both parts were true.
My buddy Tracy Stark, who was up on stage playing the piano for parts of the ceremony, she wrote to me this morning and just said how...
It was so cool. She played for not Nona, for Sarah Dash.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. She said you were so inspirational, that you were cool, calm, collected, and inspirational.
No, it's very thoughtful of Tracy, and we appreciate her being there as a volunteer. AIDS Walk New York happens because we have about 2,000 people who volunteer, many who were at the park when I got up at 5 a.m. Setting up, and many who were at the park when I left at 6 p.m. cleaning up.
Oh, my gosh.
That's quite a crowd.
That's a great crowd. I took when, I think it was in 2002, I chaperoned a group of students from the School of American Ballet, and we did that walk, and we had just an amazing time.
Well, we're hoping that you and the students and everyone who's listening will come next year because it's our 25th year. We haven't firmly decided, but I have a feeling we're going to dedicate the march to Roger's life.
Yeah,
that's great.
You know, many people come to AIDS Walk because they want to raise funds, but there are many more people who come in the tradition of AIDS protests.
Absolutely.
And so they march and walk for in memory of people who have gone and in support of people who are living with HIV. And so we just think that next year is going to be a really bang-up celebration and commemoration of 25 years of raising much-needed funds and awareness about HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, so next week I'm headed out to San Francisco to do the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride. And I'm worried about my energy level. What advice do you
have
for me?
Wait a minute. He's not
riding
a bike.
It. Okay, I should say I'm not. My partner is riding.
Great shape.
My partner, no. I am. But my partner is riding it. I am working the event. So I am working the breakfast and dinner crew every morning. So
well, that's really wonderful. I mean, you know, a lot of people feel that, you know, HIV/AIDS is over and it's no longer an issue. Well, every 9.5 minutes in the United States, another person is infected with HIV.
Yeah.
Also in the United States, 25% of the people living with HIV, already infected, do not know it. So they're walking around, living with HIV, not protecting themselves, not protecting others, not getting the health care they need. And to large measure, the stigma around HIV and AIDS has not changed. And so while there is still, while we're hopeful, there is no vaccine, no cure, and increasing numbers of people who are affected. And so the AIDS walk, the AIDS rides, all of this AIDS awareness is important because I just want to thank the station because you're taking this time to kind of acknowledge Roger and acknowledge the issue of HIV and AIDS. But, you know, there's a deafening silence.
Absolutely.
About HIV, and that we really have to do better, not just because of the people who are currently infected, but because we have an obligation to young people to ensure that they get the information that they need so that they can protect themselves and hopefully avoid becoming HIV infected.
Yeah, Elton John was on CNN yesterday. I don't know if you saw that, talking to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, just about how important this work was. But I thought what really struck me in that interview is he flat out said, this can be really frustrating work. It can be really frustrating that every 10 years we go through this cycle of telling people, hey, remember, this is still here, and we have to do this education. He really struck a chord in the way he gave a nice voice to that frustration.
Well, you know, I use the airport and airplanes as my gauge of the awareness of the American people, and I can't tell you how many conversations I have had in airports where people say, is it really a problem? Ugh. I mean, should I really be asking people about their status? Should I really get tested if I'm not, like,
yes.
sick? Yes.
Yes, you should.
I mean, you know, I was my hairdresser, who's very talented. It's a mother-daughter team, and the daughter's about 20, the mother's about 45, mm-hmm. and I was in the shop just before AIDS walk, because, you know, you can't just walk, you got to look good.
No,
right?
You got to look good.
And I'm talking to the daughter, a young woman, about, you know, talking to her partners and, you know, introducing the issue of HIV, and I know my status, and do you know yours, and we're talking about that. And I was a little aware of her mother was there, but, you know, she was fine talking about it. And sort of midway the conversation, her mother said, excuse me, Marjorie, but is it true that if you have blood type B, that you're immune from the AIDS virus?
Now, I want to hear what went through your head at that moment.
Well, after my head finished spinning around, I thought, here I am thinking, it's the daughter I should be talking to, and clearly it's the mother. And so I said, no, there is no cure, there is no vaccine, there is no immunity, it's no blood type thing, it is about behavior and safe sex practices and, you know, needle sharing for people who are engaged in, you know, needle activity. And, you know, she was like amazed. But here is someone who, business owner, and we're not talking about Botswana or Thailand,
right,
or Russia. We're talking about Brooklyn. New York. Okay? 2009.
Oh, boy.
That because she's type B, she doesn't have to wear a condom. I don't think so. You know, but part of this is about the schools. I mean, the schools are not providing the kind of education information. In New York City, there has been condom availability since the Dinkins administration. But let me tell you what that means. That means that the condoms are in the nurse's office.
So you have to go and ask.
School nurses are not in school every day, and not all day the days that they're in. You have to raise your hand and get a pass. Teachers are apprehensive about just letting you slip out of class. So, I mean, just think about it. How many high school students are going to actually avail themselves of those condoms that are, quote-unquote, freely available?
You almost make it seem like high school students are not going to wait to have sex until the nurse is done with her day off?
Well, they actually are not going to have sex until they're, like, 50 and married.
Oh, good. So. That's what I heard. But only if they have blood type B.
There you go.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. And you kind of touched upon another topic that we've spoken about on many shows, which is blood donation and, blood typing. I'm kind of just wandering off from there. You didn't really touch on it at all, but it's on your website. So we were talking about blood donation and how men who sleep with men or women who have had sex with men who sleep with men cannot donate blood in the United States.
It is an absolute travesty and appalling contradiction in terms of public health that the current FDA requirement bar any man who has had sex with another man since 1979 from giving blood donations, or any woman who has had sex with a man who has had sex with another mm-hmm. man. And so, since we test all the blood, and since, we don't take someone's word that they're HIV negative, we test, you know, it's a federal law, it is a public health precaution, we test all the blood. So why are we stigmatizing gay men who could donate blood? particularly during periods of time and in parts of the country in which we have a blood shortage.
Unbelievable.
It's outrageous. It's particularly a pet peeve among gay men who do, I'm outraged about it, but it's particularly a pet peeve about and for gay men who are organizing, who are out in their companies and who organize food drives and clothing drives and other kinds of support activities for the community. And then when the blood drive comes, they can't give blood.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, it sends a message that they are, you know, these diseased, kind of pariahs on society when they are, in fact, you know, significant philanthropic and socially conscious individuals. I mean, it's really appalling. The other thing that's appalling about this is that the Red Cross has written a brief saying how this is contrary to public health and that they would support the FDA changing it.
And still we can't change
it.
And
no movement.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're hopeful with the new administration that many things will change. The past administration was literally in the dark about many things. And so we're hopeful that this will be something that is addressed, as I said, in the new administration.
All right. Deep breath. All right. Becca, deep breath. Dr. Hill, deep breath. Cleansing breath. This is the fun part. I have never been so excited for this segment as I am for these songs. This is the part where we ask you about your four songs, and you tell our listening audience what these songs say about Dr. Marjorie Hill. I've never been so excited than with this slate of four song selections to hear
please.
What they say about you. So
and he never warns anyone.
I never warn anyone,
this.
But that would ruin the fun. So first, let's start off. We're starting off with a song that I cannot believe this is the first time we've ever played it, but we started off your song selections with I Will Survive. What does that say about you?
Oh, my God, you've never played it. I can't believe it.
I know.
Well, you know, there are many challenges in the world. There are challenges around racial discrimination and around injustice to gay and lesbian people and injustice to women and many, many challenges that we still have to deal with as a society and as a country. And, you know, I Will Survive for me is really saying that it doesn't matter if other people don't value who I am. I value who I am and I will survive.
That was a good answer.
Mm.
All right, because that was such a good answer, I'm going to let you, and because you're doing such good work, and because we think you need more sleep, I'm only going to make you do one more, okay?
Okay.
So this is the song that's going to play you out in a minute or so. What does I'm Caught Up in a One Night Love say about Dr. Marjorie Hill?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, actually, it is like one of my all-time favorite songs. And, you know, it really is less about the lyrics and really about the time in which the song was a hit. And it was a time of a great challenge in the African-American community in terms of civil rights.
Absolutely.
It was a time during a lot of challenge around HIV and AIDS. And it's not so much the lyrics, but it really is a rallying cry. And the second the doo-doo-doo. You know, it starts to go in. Those of us who were much younger in those days and would run to the dance floor have a connection. And so for me, Caught Up is really about paying homage to our past, paying homage to tradition, and paying homage to the importance of community. And I really want to sort of play the song, as I hope you'll play the song, in honor of Roger McFarlane's memory, who definitely was caught up in changing the world.
That we will do. Dr. Marjorie Hill, I cannot, it is indescribable for me to thank you on behalf of the community. The work that you are doing, it truly defies description. It is just so colossally important, and the way you bring people together and the way you inspire folks, it truly is an honor to have you on the show.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, and I just want to say, you know, it takes a village. All of us are a collection of reflections of each other and support of each other, and with that togetherness, we can both fight AIDS, fight discrimination, fight homophobia, and create a better world.
So folks need Absolutely. To go on over to gmhc.org, and the first step is always to educate yourself. So stroll on over there. Dr. Hill, a true pleasure. Congratulations on the walk. You're just doing such great stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Gosh, that's a great song. That's Caught Up, as requested by tonight's just unbelievable guest, Dr. Marjorie Hill, who's doing such great work out there. Any stories you want to talk about, Becca? Any stories?
Just
about
that I promise I am going to bring a video camera one of these days and catch Ken dancing. I really will. I promise everyone.
Any stories about maybe certain beauty pageants or California or anything like that?
Oh, yes. Well, our New Jersey correspondent, also known as my sister, keeps IMing us repeatedly.
What story could she possibly want to talk about?
It turns out that Perez Hilton, who might not be the best source ever, has started the rumor that Miss California's mother is gay.
We're not supposed to be talking about Miss California.
I know,
but I heard that too, and I really wanted to talk about it, but I didn't want it to be me who brought it up. But yeah, apparently they're saying that her mother had some sort of
illicit affair,
fling of some sort.
Well, so, rock on. Good for her.
Yes. Just making this all the more ironic. So next week, folks, Becca's leaving me. She's ditching me. She's going off to London, so I will have a very special guest host for everyone. We will be joined by Ant, which is huge. And then I will be headed out to California. We're going to be taking a week off, and then more and more guests in the weeks to come.
Absolutely.
So please, please, please go to thisshowissogay.com, and you can read all about us and listen to podcasts, and you can see pictures of us. People are like, oh, what do you look like? So you can see my face and
the back of my head
and the back of Becca's head.
I will get a picture up there.
We need a better picture. And then you can also, from our website, stroll on over to Facebook and join our Facebook group. And from our website, you can also go to iTunes and subscribe to our show.
We're everywhere.
Which thousands of people have done, so you will be in very good company. And that's pretty much it. We wish you bon voyage, Becca.
And to you, sir.
Travel safely.
As I won't be here to wish you luck, and more importantly, Andrew luck with his long bike ride.
I'm serving food.
I know, you're going to be working hard too, but I'm more worried about Andrew and that long bike ride.
Well, when you're out there and you're having just a fabulous time, Becca, remember, why be gay, Becca, when you can be
so gay.
Followed in the dance.